We might need to do that every week so everybody wakes up before the sermon. Our message today comes from the Gospel of Luke. We have been journeying through Luke for the past month, and today we hear a parable from chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. So I wonder which of these two characters, the Pharisee or the tax collector, we would rather have as a member of this church. Let's think about the Pharisee first. He is someone who goes above and beyond the call of duty. He gives more than is required, a tenth of all his income, when the Torah only written food and animals. Generous givers are certainly nice to have in the church. He is clearly a man committed to spiritual disciplines. He fasts on a regular basis, and he goes to the temple to pray. What's more, in Jesus' time, even though Pharisees now get a bad rap, they were really known as reformers who were committed to making religious practice more accessible to ordinary people. So someone like that would probably be the first to volunteer for evangelism chair or teaching Sunday school or Bible study and being worship leader, right? Always nice to have good volunteers in the church. With Pharisee Frank in our church, we would have someone we could always count on to step up and take charge. But when the standards are set so high, some of the rest of us might feel like we just can never measure up. I get the sense that whoever would follow the Pharisee as board chair would get regular comments about what they were doing wrong. The pastor might get a nice phone call on Monday mornings with a commentary on the day's sermon from the day before. And we all know that an atmosphere of judgment and condescension does not really make a welcoming environment for visitors, for people wondering if they're going to be accepted as they are. Many of us would probably feel not like we couldn't really fully be ourselves around a fellow church member like this. We might not be able to open up and admit our flaws and ask for prayers when we have doubts if we felt like we would be judged. So what about the tax collector? The good news is that he would probably boost our stewardship campaign also, since tax collectors were pretty wealthy from extorting money off of their neighbors. But knowing how dependent he himself is on God's mercy, the tax collector would probably be pretty accepting of all others, no matter their flaws. He would probably really appreciate our belief that all are welcome at the Lord's table. He'd probably avoid causing any conflicts in the church, and would be the kind of person who would help out behind the scenes, cleaning up after fellowship hour or coming to property work days without expecting any thanks, because he would always be trying to prove he was worthy of belonging. And while that may sound appealing in a church member, I wonder if he would also be reluctant to really use his talents in meaningful ways because he would never feel like they were good enough. He might not really believe we actually wanted him around. He might not take the initiative to offer others comfort when they were going through a hard time because he may not feel like his presence or what he did really mattered to other people. His Sunday school class might end up spending half of their time convincing him that he really wasn't such a bad guy after all, and they were really glad that he was there. When we think about this parable in a modern way like this, we might be moved to thank God that we are not like either the Pharisee or the tax collector in this story. Of course, we know that either one of these characters would be welcomed at St. Paul's because there is a place for everyone here. And it's tempting as we think about these two characters, as Jesus presents them in the story, to put them in categories, to try to decide which one is supposed to be the hero and which one is the villain. But Jesus doesn't really want us to draw such clear lines. By using these extreme examples in his parables, Jesus is really trying to help us see ourselves and our own tendencies more clearly. Just like the Pharisee, we too easily fall into the trap of comparison and putting others in categories of our own making. Even though on the surface, this is a parable that seems to be promoting humility, at its heart, Jesus is warning us against contempt and comparing our own faith against that of other people. Comparison is a habit that saps our spirits and disconnects us not just from God, but from our brothers and sisters in Christ who we need to enrich our spiritual growth. As soon as we start trying to figure out which character is better, which one is more faithful or righteous, we start to fall into the trap that Jesus sets. Because neither the Pharisee or the tax collector can make themselves more righteous, not even by being more sincerely humble, by praying a more sincere or self-effacing prayer, or through any kind of effort on their own behalf. Only when we recognize that we are all equally dependent on God's love, that we all come before God with both flaws and failures and with God-given talents and the potential to serve in meaningful ways, only then can we fully experience God's grace. God does not leave any of us unchanged or unforgiven when we approach God with a sincere heart, when we long to be made whole by God's love. And so we can trust that no one is beyond redemption. No one is worthy of our contempt or exclusion from belonging. Comparison is a dangerous game. And not just when we err on the side of seeing ourselves as the ones who are more righteous or more worthy. I think we tends to err on the other side of believing we can never be as good as our neighbor. And such a lowly view of ourselves discounts our worth as people made in the image of God and denies Christ's power to redeem us. Just like the Pharisee's diligent acts of fasting and tithing can't earn him God's favor, neither can the most humble and self-effacing spirit earn God's favor. God's love and acceptance cannot be achieved by our own doing. Our status can only be determined by what God does for us. We are made humble Not because we acknowledge our sins are awful and unredeemable. We are made humble by God's abundant love poured out on us, no matter what we have or haven't done. We pray and praise and serve and engage in all kinds of giving and spiritual disciplines, not to get God's attention, but because we are filled with gratitude that God sees us and knows us and invites us to follow him exactly as we are. In the very next chapter of Luke, after this one that we read today, comes the story of Zacchaeus. We remember Zacchaeus is the wee little man who climbed up in the tree. Zacchaeus is not just a tax collector, like the one in today's story, he is the chief tax collector, rich from taking advantage of others. And yet, Jesus sees Zacchaeus and knows him and invites himself into Zacchaeus' home. And after Jesus reaches out to Zacchaeus, he responds to Jesus' love by promising to give back not just four times of everything he's stolen from people. In addition to that, he says he will give half of all he has to the poor. Now, contrast Zacchaeus' response to Jesus' mercy with another story that comes in the middle of these two, between today's passage and Zacchaeus. It's another familiar one. It's a story of a rich ruler who comes to Jesus and asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And you may remember that Jesus tells him it's simple. All he has to do is sell everything he has and give it to the poor. And of course, that man goes away sad, unable to do what's asked of him, unable to do enough to earn God's love, to earn eternal life. I think it's no accident that these stories come all together. Jesus gives the ruler what feels like an impossible task to win God's favor, one he cannot do. And yet, Zacchaeus joyfully volunteers to do almost the same thing without even being asked to do it, in thanksgiving, in response to what Jesus has done. But to compare the two, to compare Zacchaeus and the rich ruler, is once again to miss Jesus' point. Neither one is more worthy of God's grace. Neither one can earn God's love or admiration with their generosity. Because it's not about them. As Jesus tells the disciples after the rich ruler goes away sad, nothing is impossible for God. It's God's initiative that saves us, and it is only up to us to respond to God's grace with our whole hearts. And so instead of trying to compare our spiritual journey, our faithfulness or humility with others, let us encourage each other in our efforts to respond joyfully to God's love. May we give with abundance like Zacchaeus, not to make ourselves look good, but so that all others can experience the overflowing goodness of unearned gifts as we have. May we help each other to grow in our faith, to grow in righteousness, to practice spiritual disciplines by encouraging those who struggle to feel worthy of God's love and attention. The antidote to comparison is connection, praying with each other and for each other, and mentoring those whose faith may be fragile, holding each other accountable for how we treat each other when we tend to fall into injustice and taking advantage of others, reaching out in love to those who have gone astray. Let us continue to be a church that welcomes both the Pharisee and the tax collector, the insider and the outsider, the sinner and the saint, and all of those of us who fall in between. because we know that our faith is made stronger when we all seek God together, when we grow in faith by learning from each other, when we all use our gifts in gratitude for God's gracious invitation extended to us. And so if you want to learn to follow Jesus as a part of this community of faith, Amanda or I would be happy to talk to you about becoming a member of St. Paul's, or you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing together hymn number 579, Standing in the Need of Prayer.